We're holding on Gimel Amud Aleph, third line. We were talking about, well, we have the two opinions in our Mishnah when you begin saying Masha Baruch Amor Degeshen. Rabbi Yezer says on the first day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua says on the last day, which, by the way, we touched on that. What do we mean by the last day? Rashi in various places in the sugya, in some places seems to say that Rabbi Yeshua means the seventh day, because we had a braisa where Rabbi Yeshua used the expression nishchas hanachosay from when the lulav is put down. So you put down the lulav, you stop taking it on the seventh day, so it might be that day. And at further down on our Amud, for example, Rashi says dehainu bashvi. On the other, and there are some, and Rabbi Gershom, for example, here learns the same way. On the other hand, there are places where Rashi seems to be saying, and Tosfos also understands, that it means the eighth day. It means on Shmini Atzeres. So one possibility, actually, the Gvura Sari brings that maybe Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah and Rabbi Yeshua in the Braisa don't necessarily have to agree. You could have two different opinions of Tanoim, what Rabbi Yeshua meant. Anyway, so we have those. Then, in addition, we had in a Braisa, we had a couple of other opinions. We had Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira saying that you start from the second day Sukkot. Rabbi Akiva saying you start from the sixth day. And then we had in our Mishnah and also in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Rabbi Yeshua that you start from Musaf of Shmini Atzeres, which we're going to see soon. We're going to see later on in the Gemara which Rabbi Yeshua is he saying that in the name of. Because again, not necessarily just Rabbi Yeshua of our Mishnah hold that it's on Shmini Atzeres. So even if he does, and Moni Yaakov, even if he does, he may mean that you start by Shachris rather than by Musaf. So we'll get back to that point. Anyway, though, we were in the middle of talking about Nisuch HaMayim. We said that a number of these Tanoim learn from Nisuch HaMayim when you should be starting to say Masha Baruch Amor Degeshem. And so some of them hold. So we said, because we have different sources. Where do we know Nisuch HaMayim from? One of them is because of the extra mem and yud and mem in the psukim about the korbanos. And the first one of those is on the second day. So therefore we would start on the second day. Rabbi Akiva. So that was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira had said that. Rabbi Akiva says that you learn Nisuch HaMayim from the fact that it says by the sixth day, Unasocheha, which means, and it's Nisochim. So therefore, according to him, the time to start mentioning rain and davening, to start saying Masha Baruch Amor Degeshem, is on the sixth day. Does that mean that these Tanoim would also hold that Nisuch HaMayim itself begins only on the sixth day, or only on the second day, or only on the sixth day, etc.? Some of the Mefoshim say yes, that's exactly what it would mean. Tosfos, for example, says that here at the top of the Amud. On the other hand, some of the Mefoshim say no, not necessarily. All of them would agree that it takes place throughout Sukkot. The question would be, given that the Remez to Nisuch HaMayim, which according to them is either from the letters Mem Yud Mem, or from the word Unsocheha, is on a particular day of Yom Tov, then that would be the day to start that the Chachamim established to start saying Masha Baruch Amor Degeshem. Okay, so far we had two ways of learning Nisuch HaMayim. Again, one is from the letters Mem Yud Mem, and the other one is from the word Unsocheha. So the Gemara says Tanya of Nosan Omer. We have a third way of learning about Nisuch HaMayim. The Pasuk says, by the Korban Tamid, Bakodesh, in the holy place, Hasech Nesech Sheichol Hashem, pour a libation of intoxicating wine to Hashem. Sheicher means wine that already has alcohol, that has fermented and has alcohol in it, so it would get you drunk. So pour that as a libation to Hashem. So the double expression, Hasech Nesech, means Mishnei Nisuch and Akos of Medaber. So the Pasuk is talking about two kinds of Nesech. Echad Nisuch HaMayim ve'echad Nisuch HaYayin. So one of water and one of wine. The fact is that says by every day's Korbanos, where are we seeing that refers specifically to Sukkos? So there's a couple of different points that various Mefoshim bring up. One interesting one is that the word Hasech is the same letters as the word Sukkah. So therefore, that's a remez to the fact that one of these Nisuchim takes place only during Sukkos. That with that said, though, there is one of the Rishonim. There's a pirush on the Sechta Tainus called Shittel Baal Atzurus. The Baal Atzurus was a Talmud of the Rashba and Rabbeinu Peretz and some other Rishonim of that period. So he wrote a pirush here on the Sechta Tainus. So he explains that fine, even Rav Nosson still has to rely on Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder's Mem Yud Mem to know that we're talking about specifically during the Sukkos. Otherwise we would say that it takes place all year round. But first, the question is, Eva Tavayu de Chamra. Still, the Hasech Nesech, maybe it means that you have two libations of wine. So how do you know that one of them is water, and on top of that, again, that one of them is doing Sukkos? The answer is, Imkein Lichtiv Kro, Oy Hasech Hasech, Oy Nesech Nesech. In that case, the Torah could have repeated the same word twice. My hasech nesech, instead it uses two different grammatical forms of the same word, shamat mina, so you can see from that there are two different kinds of nisuchim, and therefore chad de mayav, chad de chamra, so one is of wine, one is of water, one is of wine. So again, as the Shittel Baal HaTzurus is saying, we can't learn it exclusively from this pasuk, because fine, you would know it's two different kinds of libations. You wouldn't know at all what the second one is. If it's not wine, what is it? You still have to rely on Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder's Mem Yud Mem, and also on the fact that that's written in connection with the Korbanos of Sukkos, to realize that we're talking about something that takes place specifically on Sukkos. So in fact, then a reason why he would say that it's merumas in the Tomat Shachar is because that is usually when the Nisuch HaMayim takes place. We learned yesterday that in principle you could do the Nisuch HaMayim anytime, even by night, but nevertheless the normal time to do it was at the Tomat Shachar. So therefore, that's hinted at in the pasuk, putting this Hasech Nesech in connection with the Tomat Shachar. Okay. So far we have three different ways of learning about Nisuch HaMayim. From the Mem Yud and Mem, from the word Unsachecha, or from the word Hasech Nesech. So now the Gemara asks, Ela Hoditznan Nisuch HaMayim Kol Zayin. Now what about though, we learn the Mishnah in Sukkah, that Nisuch HaMayim takes place all 7 days. Mani. So now which of these Tanoim would it be like? Iyu Rabbi Yeshua, if it was according to Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua had said that, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we said that we only start asking for rain on the last day. So Bepashtus, that means, in other words, that he's associating it with Nisuch HaMayim as well. Neimachad Yoma. So he should say that you only have to, do Nisuch HaMayim one day. Now, where the Gemara is getting that because Rabbi Yeshua says you only ask for rain on the last day, therefore that means that Nisuch HaMayim should only be on the last day, there's a good deal of discussion about that among the Mefarshim. I mean, after all, we said yesterday Rabbi Eliezer learns rather from the Tilas Lulav. Fine, Rabbi Yeshua is not learning from the Tilas Lulav, but he still says, Mishas HaNachosai, what does that have to do with Nisuch HaMayim necessarily? But nevertheless, the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yeshua would agree with these various other Tanoim that learned from Nisuch HaMayim as well, and therefore that if Nisuch HaMayim, so therefore if Masha Baruch Moedah Geshem, according to him, takes place only on the last day, then that means so would Nisuch HaMayim. And here you also get into the question what we mean by the last day. Do we mean the seventh day of Sukkos, or do we even mean the eighth day of Sukkos, in which case that's even more of a problem to understand? How is it that we would even think that Rabbi Yeshua would say that Nisuch HaMayim takes place only on Shmini Atzeres, when after all it's written in connection with the Psukim of Sukkos? Anyway, the Gemara is taking that assumption then, that Rabbi Yeshua would say that it means only one day, so fine, that one day could be according to the various Mephoshim, the seventh or the eighth day, but where do we have a source for him, according to Nisuch HaMayim, for all the days? And how could the Mishnah and Sukkah go according to him? According to Rabbi Akiva, it would only be 2 days, because according to him, you're learning from the word Unasachecha, that's on the sixth day of Sukkot. So Bepashtus, according to Rabbi Akiva, you would only be doing Nisuch HaMayim the sixth and the seventh day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder Shita Yomi, and according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder, for only 6 days, because according to him the Remez begins on the second day of Sukkos, the Mem, the extra Mem over there in the word Beniskehem. So therefore, according to him, Nisuch HaMayim would begin only on the second day of Yom Tov, and only is only for 6 days. So which Tana would say, given all the various limudim that we had so far about Nisach HaMayim, which Tana would it be that would say that you do Nisach HaMayim for all 7 days? So the answer is La'olam Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. We could answer that Mishnah in Sukkah is in fact according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Usvira like Rabbi Yehuda, the Masnissin. But he holds like Rabbi Yehuda later on in the Mishnah in Sukkah, the Tanan, later on in that Perek, it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Baloi Goy Manasseh Koshmoina. Rabbi Yehuda says that they use a one log container, and instead of the Tanakama there says they use three logim, and they poured it throughout all 8 days of Sukkot, meaning according to Rabbi Yehuda, they did Nisach HaMayim Ashmini Atzeres as well. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira holds partially like Rabbi Yehuda. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that it takes place on Shmini Atzeres, but he disagrees with him that it also takes place on the first day of Yom Tov, because he says again that you start only from the second day, because that's the day when we have the first mem of the word Mayim. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would take out the first day. He would say you don't do Nisach HaMayim on that day, but instead you do it on the eighth day. So therefore, you still have 7 days. So the Mishnah in Sukkah that says that Nisach HaMayim is for 7 days would be according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. But the Gemara says that still doesn't work. Now what's the difference? You're saying according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, you're not going to do Nisach HaMayim on the first day of Sukkot. And you're going to say the reason is the key remizi mayim b'sheni hu remizi, and you're going to say because the remez to mayim begins only on the second day. Well, shmini nami, then you shouldn't, according to the Yehuda ben Beseira, you shouldn't be doing on the eighth day either. Ki remizi mayim b'shviyeh hu remizi, because after all, the remez to mayim ends on the seventh day. The last nem of it is on the seventh day, in the word kimishpatam. So there's nothing on the eighth day. So why would we say that Mishnah in Sukkah goes like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Rabbi Yeshua. Rather, we can answer that Mishnah in Sukkah saying that Nisach HaMayim takes place for 7 days is, after all, according to Rabbi Yeshua. According to Rabbi Yeshua, we just said that you only have Masha Baruch HaMoed HaGeshem for 1 day, whether that 1 day is the seventh or the eighth, according to the different Mepharshim. So why, according to him, would we be saying that Nisach HaMayim takes place all 7 days? The answer is, the Nisach HaMayim Kol Shiva Hilchsa Gemirila. Rabbi Yeshua would say that the fact that you do Nisach HaMayim B'chlau and the fact that you do it for 7 days is a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So he doesn't hold like any of the opinions that we said before about where we learn Nisach HaMayim from, not from the Mem Yud Mem, not from the word Unsacheha, not from the word Hasech Nesech. According to him, the whole thing is a pure halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and the halacha l'moshe m'sinai includes that it takes place for all 7 days. Rashi, by the way, goes into some length over here to explain that when we're saying over here that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yeshua, we don't mean it has to be exclusively according to Rabbi Yeshua. It could just as well work according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, after all, says that you start Masha Baruch HaMoed HaGeshem on the first day. Rabbi Eliezer is not addressing when Nisach HaMayim takes place at all, because we said in the Gemara yesterday that he, Bechlau, learned from the Tilas Lulav when you should start saying Masha Baruch HaMoed HaGeshem. So there's no question that our Mishnah could go, that the Mishnah that we're talking about in Sukkah could go according to Rabbi Eliezer. But Rashi explains, the Gemara is not mentioning it because there's no Chiddush in it. To make it work according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no Chiddush in it. Because Rabbi Eliezer, again, he didn't address this matter of Nisach HaMayim at all. So therefore, there's no reason that he couldn't say that Nisach HaMayim takes place all 7 days. We were trying to figure out, within the Tanoim that we were talking about, who say different times that you start Masha Baruch HaMoed HaGeshem, would there be a way of making this Mishnah work according to those Tanoim? And we said that no, there's no way to make it work according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, because according to him, you should only have 6 days, or according to Rabbi Akiva, because according to him, you should only have 7 days. You should only have 2 days. But we can make it work according to Rabbi Yeshua. We would say, in other words, that there's a difference. Rabbi Yeshua would say, like this, we can say, in other words, Rashi explains, when we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva telling us that Nisuch HaMayim, that you start Masha B'Ruach HaMoed HaGeshem only in the middle of Sukkot on the sixth day or on the second day, then we can understand from that that it means that they might hold that Nisuch HaMayim takes place only on those days as well. Because they would say there's a connection between those two things. But Rabbi Yeshua, we would say there's no connection between them. He's saying you don't start asking for rain, you don't start even mentioning rain in davening until the seventh or the eighth day, according to the different Mephoshim, because again, Geshamim are Simon Klala B'Chag, like he said in the Mishnah, for it to rain during Sukkot would be a Simon Klala, but that has nothing to do with Nisuch HaMayim. You can be doing Nisuch HaMayim during the rest of Sukkot, and it doesn't end one hand, it doesn't have to do with the other. So that's why the Gemara is working to try and make the Mishnah work according to Rabbi Yeshua, because there's a chidush in that, to say that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold that there's a connection between when you start Masha B'Ruach HaMoed HaGeshem and when you do Nisuch HaMayim. So now we're saying, how does he disconnect those two? By saying that we don't learn Nisuch HaMayim from a pasuk at all, rather it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So where do we see that Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai? The Amr of Ami.
So
why
does he explain the psukim?
So he doesn't. So he would say
specifically.
He doesn't. The Gemara doesn't mention what he does with the psukim. He might hold. At best, he might say that maybe the psukim are an asmachta. He might say that the concept itself of Nisuch HaMayim is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and the psukim are an asmachta for it. Which is, as we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the Ritva explains. We talked about this concept before, that an asmachta means that the Torah, that Hashem wanted a certain thing to be done, but he doesn't explicitly put it in the Torah. He leaves it up to the Chachamim to determine whether it should be done. But he leaves hints in the Torah that the Chachamim can use for that purpose should they so choose. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, we might say then that the Nisuch HaMayim is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. But the certain details of it, for example, the fact that it takes place during the Tumah Shel Shachar, or the fact that it involves pouring the wine, the fact that it, let's say, involves pouring the water on the Mizbeach rather than, let's say, someplace else, would be up to the Chachamim to determine, and therefore Hashem put these hints in the Psukim for them, but not that we actually learn it from those things like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Nosson were saying.
So if it's an Asmachta, it cannot be Moshe M'Sinai, it's either one or the other.
Oh, that's the thing. It can be Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai means something that Hashem taught the Halacha directly to Moshe without having a source in the Pasuk. You can have, sometimes, such things can have a smachtus in the Pasuk. There can be something in the Pasuk that's a remez for it or something. In fact, Rashi uses that expression on the Pasuk when Rashi mentions in the Pesukim, in Parashas Pinchas, he mentions the Mem Yud Mem. He says over there the expression remez l'Nisuch HaMayim min HaTorah. So in other words, if we say that Nisuch HaMayim is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, it means that these letters are not the source of the Halacha. Rather, these letters are a hint for the Halacha. They help us remember the Halacha. But the Halacha itself is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, independent of those letters and independent of those psukim. So where do we see that Nisuch HaMayim is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai? The Amr of Ami, Amr of Yechin, and Meshum Rem Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Chorasan. Eser Netzios, the halacha that you're allowed to plow a field that has 10 young trees in it, a field that's the size of a base saw, and you have 10 young trees planted in it, that you're allowed to plow that whole field, the whole base saw, up until Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, rather than with most agricultural work, you have to stop a certain amount of time before Shemitah, because then it comes out that you're doing it really for the sake of the next year's crop, and you can't do that. But there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that if you have 10 natias, 10 young trees in a beis sah, then you're allowed to plow the field for their sake in order to get more air into the soil or whatever, all the way up until Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. So that's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That's the first one. Number two, arava. The arava that we learned about in the Masechta Sukkah, that they go around the Mizbeach with it every day of Sukkot in the Bis Mikdash, and then afterwards they bang them on the ground, etc. So all of that, and the Nisuch, actually banging on the ground, as we said, was Minhag Neviim. So no, we mean the arava that they would go around the Mizbeach with, and the Nisuch HaMayim, all of those are Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and therefore, so Rabbi Yeshua holds like that, that it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and not learned from the Pesukim at all. The reason why it mentions these three things together, by the way, Esenetius, Arov, and Nisachamayim, so Rashi explains in Shabbos, because all of them were asked in the Beis Medrash, they asked about all of them together, where are these halachas from, and the answer by all of them came that they're halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So therefore, they were put together, and therefore the Gemara mentions them together because they were all asked on the same occasion. Okay. So that's the bottom line then. So we have four different opinions where we learn Nisach HaMayim from. Three of them are where we learn from Sukkim. One is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. And then in turn, we also have several different opinions, we said, on when we actually start saying Mashe V'Ruach HaMoed Hageshem. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yehuda Oymer Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, Ha'oyver Lifnei Ateva B'Yom Tov Ha'achon Shokag, we said that Rabbi Yehuda had said that when it comes to the chazan who davens by the Amud on Shmini Atzeres, Ha'achrin Mazkir, only the second chazan, the one from Musaf, says Mashav Ruach Moed Hageshem. Harishin Einim Mazkir, the chazan for Shachris does not. He still says Moed at all, or nothing at all, as we're going to talk about. The Yom Tov, Harishin Shal Pesach, and on the first day of Pesach, it's the other way around. Harishin Mazkir, the first chazan for Shachris, still says Mashav Ruach Moed Hageshem. Ha'achrin Einim Mazkir, and the second one from Musaf does not. Now, we said Rabbi Yehuda said that in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. But the question is, hey Rabbi Yeshua, which Rabbi Yeshua said that, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying in his name? Ilema de Rabbi Yeshua de Masnissin. Are you talking about Rabbi Yeshua of Arm Mishnah? Can't be. Ha'oma b'yom tov ha'achon shochag humazgir. He says that you start on the last day of Yom Tov. The pashtus that means, Rashi says, that it means that Rabbi Yeshua would say even the chazan for Shachris already says it. And in fact, again, according to some of the opinions that we said before, Rabbi Yeshua might even be saying that, Elo Rabbi Yeshua de Braisa. So are we talking about rather Rabbi Yeshua's opinion in the Braisa? Ha'amah Meshas HaNachosah. He says from when you put down the lulav. Now, again, you have different ways of understanding what that means. One way of understanding is that it means from the seventh day of Sukkot. So in that case, Rabbi Yehuda isn't agreeing with that, because he's saying only on Shmini Atzeres. But even if we say that Rabbi Yeshua in the Braisa also means the eighth day of Sukkot, also means Shmini Atzeres. First of all, he might mean by night. Second of all, he might mean again in the morning, already Shachris. Where is Rabbi Yehuda getting that Rabbi Yeshua would say that it means Davka by Musaf of Shmini Atzeres? That's for sure, long after Hanachose, long after you put down the lulav. So here, for example, is where Rashi says that we're talking about Bashvi. Rashi says in the Rashi over here, Ha'omam Shas Hanachose, Dahainu Bashvi, but on the previous Amud, in fact, Hagoyis Ma'arav Ransburg points out that there are some places in the Sugya where Rashi is mentioning Rabbi Yeshua speaking about the seventh day, and other places where it seems that Rashi is speaking about the eighth day. So Hagoyis Ma'arav Ransburg explains that, fine, what it means is that Rashi would say on the seventh day is when you put down the lulav for the last time, you don't take it anymore. And the night going into the eighth day is when you would start saying Mashav Ruach Moed Hageshem according to him. But in any case, that's not Musaf of Shmini Atzeres, like Rabbi Yehuda is saying. But again, as we said yesterday, there are different understandings of Rashi by several different other Mepharshim that talk about that maybe in fact Rashi does mean that you would start on the eighth day itself. Or maybe Rashi actually does mean that you would start on the seventh day itself. Again, as the Gura Sari says, maybe even you could say there are two different Tanoim disagreeing within what Rabbi Yeshua says. One of them saying that he says you start on Shmini Atzeres, and the other one that you start the day before on Hishan Rav. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yeshua, neither in the Mishnah nor in the Braisa, seems to be saying anything like what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that you start Dafka on Musaf of Shmini Atzeres. The two, and furthermore, we have to ask, Hodatanya, this that we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Ben Beseira. So here you have Rabbi Yehuda saying, not in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, but in the name of Ben Beseira. Ha'oiva Lifnei Ateva B'Yom Tov Ha'achon Shochag, when the Chazan is davening by the Omud on the last day, on Shmini Atzeres, Ha'achrin Mazkir. Then he says that only the Chazan from Musaf says Mashav Ruach Moed Hageshem. So, hey Ben Beseira. Which Ben Beseira would that be? Elamer of Yehuda ben Beseira, it could be Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and we would say that that's why it calls him ben Beseira, because you have Rabbi Yehuda, to say Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would be confusing, so we just say ben Beseira. Can't be. We had in the Braisa that we quoted yesterday, and we were analyzing further today, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that you start only on the second day, that you start already on the second day, Yom Tov. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda now, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, that is, plain Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, is saying that you start on Shmini Atzeres. So we have two questions. Number one, who is the Rabbi Yeshua that Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the name of an Arm Mishnah? And number two, who is this Ben Beseira that he's saying in the name of in the Braisa? So Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, Tehei Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. Very simple. The answer is that we can explain. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa are referring to the same Tana, and his name was Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. Usually we have Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, but there were other Tanoim whose names were Ben Beseira as well, and one of them is Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. So he's the one that Rabbi Yehuda is saying in his name. So therefore, Zimnin de Korele B'Shmei, so sometimes he's called by his personal name, Rabbi Yeshua, V'Zimnin de Korele B'Shmei de Abba. Sometimes instead he's called Ben Beseira. The difference is, V'Homi Kame de L'Smechu, V'Avasel de L'Smechu. One is before he got Smicha, so then they just called him Ben Beseira. And the other one, and so that would be the Braisa, and the Mishnah that calls him Rabbi Yeshua would be that it was after he got Smicha, Holabasa de L'Smechu. That was after he got Smicha. So then they could call him Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira. So it comes out, in other words, that now regular Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah is usually Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So the point that we have from our Gemara over here, therefore, is that Rabbi Yeshua that when it says Rabbi Yeshua in the last part of our Mishnah and has Rabbi Yehuda telling us the din in his name, that is not Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, but rather Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira. Okay. New topic. Tana, we learn in a Braisa, the tal over ruchus loichiu v'chacham and lahazgir. When it comes to dew and when it comes to wind, the Chachamim did not require you to mention it any time during the year. So you never have to say Masha Baruach. You really only have to say Merid HaGeshem. And you never have to say Merid HaTol. As far as Masha Baruach, there is pretty much the universal minhag that we say during the winter, Masha Baruach, Merid HaGeshem, rather than just Merid HaGeshem. As far as Tal, though, you have different minhagim. Nusach Ashkenaz is that you don't say Merid HaTol during the summer. You go straight from Mechayim Eis Matar Abla Yeshia to Mechalko Chayim Bechesed without anything in between. Nusach Sfarim and Nusach Ari do say Merid HaTol. An interesting point that a number of poskim bring up is Masha Baruch Merid HaGeshem is the kind of form that you would have in the middle of a sentence. Because if it was at the end of a sentence, then it would be hagoshem. The segel would change to a comet, as you have in many words in Tanakh. For example, eretz changes to oretz, and many other such examples. So geshem ought to change to goshem. On the other hand, merid atol with a comet is the kind that you find at the end of a pasuk. If it was in the middle of a sentence or in the middle of a pasuk, it would be hatal. So why the inconsistency? Why, when it comes to Masha Baruch Merid HaGeshem, are we saying it with a segel, like it's the middle of a sentence, but with Merid HaTol, we say it with a comet, like the end of a sentence? So in fact, there are different neschois out there. There are some that try to make them consistent, and they have Masha Baruch Merid HaGeshem and Merid HaTol, or Masha Baruch Merid HaGeshem and Merid HaTal. But what about our nusach? So the Shara Kolol actually explains, the word is, since Masha Baruch Merid HaGeshem, you're required to say, as we're learning over here in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, therefore, we put it like it's the end of a sentence. The end of a sentence is Masha Baruch Merid HaGeshem, and then we continue with the rest of the bracha. Whereas Merid HaTol, since you're not, or the other way around, so it's not the end of a sentence, it's the middle of a sentence, sorry. I got that backwards. It's in the middle of the sentence because you're required to say it. So therefore, you're saying Masha Baruch Merid HaGeshem and continuing with the bracha as the Chachamim said to say it. Whereas when it comes to Merid HaTol, since you're not required to say it, it's only a matter of a minhag. So therefore, we make it as though it was like a separate sentence, as though like we're inserting a separate sentence in the bracha over there, and then we continue with the rest of the bracha. So that would be why we have the difference. So an advantage of saying Moed Atol, by the way, is, we're going to talk about on Amud Beis, is that if you forgot Mashu Baruch Moed Geshem during the time of, if during the winter time, like now, you're supposed to be saying Mashu Baruch Moed Geshem, but b'dievet, if you said Moed Atol, you're not going to have to go back and repeat and then start from Esrei over. Whereas if you don't say anything at all, you would. So there's a certain advantage in doing that. But anyway, so the Gemara is saying you're not actually required, al pi halacha, to mention tau or to mention ruchos. The ibola has here mazgir, but if you want to mention them, go ahead, you can mention them. Now, of course, in our nusach, we do have merud atol during the summer. Everybody says mashiv ruch merud ageshem during the winter. So the Ritzvah and the Ran talk about various ideas behind it. Even though it's true that you're not required to mention them, nevertheless, when you have, for example, the Gemara is going to mention on Omud Beis that wind after a rain is a very good thing for the ground. Therefore, when we're mentioning Geshem, we also want to mention wind together with it. Therefore, we say Mashiv Ruach or Merida Geshem, even though we're not required to. When it comes to in Baruch Aleinu, when we say during the winter time, we say the same talu motto, the gracha. So again, really, we shouldn't be required to. We could just say the same motto, the gracha. But because the Gemara is going to say that dew never goes away, but nevertheless, we still want to mention it because after all, the Gemara is going to say there is a certain kind of dew that can go away. So we do want to ask that we should have the dew for the bracha. Whereas in the summertime, since you're not required to ask for dew at all, and it's not so essential, then therefore we don't mention it at all, we just say the same bracha. Although in the Sfardish and the Sfaris they do. They have a completely different in the Nusach of the Sfardim, they have a completely different version of the bracha for Baruch Aleinu for summer and for winter. And in the summertime one, they do mention the Ubochen of Tal Le Rotzen Bracha and Adava. So they mention Tal during the summer as well. So the kitzur, that's the Ritzvah and the Ran give slightly different reasons, but it's along those lines of why we mention some of them and not others, and why we mention them where we do and where we don't. Anyway, so you don't have to mention towels. The Gemara says my timer. Why not? Because dew and wind never stop. You always have dew and you always have wind. Without them, the world wouldn't exist. So the Gemara says, "V'tal menolam d'loy ma'atzer." Okay, so where do we see that dew never stops? So dechtiv vayomer Eliyahu Atishvi nitoshave Gilad el Achav. Eliyahu Atishvi, who was one of the residents of Gilad, says to Achav. So the backstory the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin is that Achav was making fun and saying that what Moshe Rabbeinu said in the Torah is not coming true. He says that if you worship Avodah Zarah v'otzer hashemayim v'lo yimotzer, and meanwhile we're worshiping Avodah Zarah and there's plenty of rain. So Eliyahu speaks up and he says, Tosfos, by the way, mentions why is he called Hateshavim, Hateshavim Gilad, because there's a city in Gilad called Yavesh Gilad, where most of the people over there were wiped out in a story that it tells near the end of Sefer Shoftim. So now, afterwards, Yavesh Gilad was mostly repopulated by people from other places. You had a few people who were left there from the original residents, and Eliyahu was descended from one of those residents, and therefore he's called Hateshavim Gilad. So he says, El Achav, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Amadti Lefanav, I swear by the light, as Hashem, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I've stood, Im Yia Shonim Eilat Talumotar, that there will not be dew or rain during these next few years, Kim Lefi Dvori, except according to when I say, in other words, I'm making a Zera that there should not be any dew or rain for the next 3 years, for the next few years. Later on, when Hashem decides it's time for the drought to be over, he says, Leheiroi el Achav, go appear to Achav, the Etna Mutter al Pnei Ha'adama, and I will give rain onto the surface of the ground, the Ivotal like Amalek. Now Hashem doesn't say I'm going to give dew, even though Eliyahu in his Shavua had mentioned dew as well. My timer. Now why not? Mishum delay me'atzer. The reason must be because dew never stops. Because even during those years, there was still dew. So the question is, well then, if the dew never stops, then why did Eliyahu swear on it in the first place? If it's going to continue coming. And part of the question, different Mephoshim talk about the question, is not just why he would swear about it. Maharsha mentions part of the question is also, and he brings from Ein Yaakov, that in fact the question is, how could he swear on it falsely if dew never stops? And there are a couple of answers over there. One answer that's given in Ein Yaakov is that Eliyahu meant there's not going to be dew and rain together. Well, if there's no rain, then automatically there's no dew together with it, but there could still be dew separately. Marsha says that no, actually what it is, look, Tzadik goes about Kodesh Baruch HaMakayim. Hashem could stop the dew because Eliyahu demanded it. Nevertheless, though, we can assume that Eliyahu afterwards was Matur Neder on it, so that there should be able to be dew during the following years, but he wasn't Matur, the part about the rain, and therefore that had to wait until Hashem decided it's time for the drought to be over. So the question is, so why was Eliyahu swearing about the dew? And part of the question, according to some of the Mephoshim, is how could he swear about it if dew never stops? And the answer is, that Eliyahu was saying to Achav, afilu talde bracha nami le'osi. Even the dew that comes from bracha, that causes plants to grow, will not come during these 3 years. Will not come during these next few years. So the Ritva explains, when you're talking about dew of bracha versus dew that's not a bracha, there's no real physical difference between them. It's a ruchnis difference. But nevertheless, there can be tau, which is for a bracha, where Hashem gives a bracha in it, that it helps, that it promotes the growth of the plants. And then you have a tau, which is not the bracha, which doesn't promote that. So you can have one without the other. So the Gemara asks for the head with a tau bracha. Okay, but then still Hashem should say the etna tau l'mater, which would mean the tau of bracha. And the answer is Hashem didn't mention that mishum de minkura milsa. It wouldn't be obvious because the fact is there was tau before. So now if Hashem tells Eliyahu and Eliyahu in turn tells Achav that there's going to be tau l'mater, then Achav is just going to make fun and he's going to say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. There's been tau all these years. So what are you promising? So therefore, Hashem left off the word tal because there had been tal all those years. There just hadn't been tal of bracha. So that's where we see, therefore, that tal never stops as a whole. Tosfos, in fact, on Amud Aleph, points out an interesting story. You have in Sefer Shtotim, it tells of a story about the Gidon over there. He's getting ready to fight the gigantic army of Midian, and he's very nervous about it. So he asks Hashem to give him a sign. So one night he asks Hashem that I'm going to put this piece of wool out in the granary and I want to see if tomorrow morning there will be dew on the wool and not on the rest of the ground. Then that'll be my simon. And sure enough, the wool was very, very wet and it squeezed out a whole basin full of water from it. And the next night he asked the other way around that the wool should remain dry and the rest of the ground should be moist, should have dew on it. So we see actually that the first time that he asked that the ground should be dry, it doesn't say that's what it is. The first time that it says that he wanted that the ground should remain dry, it doesn't say the word vayas came, because the fact is there was dew on the rest of the ground, because Hashem wasn't going to take it away completely, because tau lo mi'atze. All it is the wool was more wet than the surrounding ground. The second night, when he asked that the wool should stay dry and the ground should be wet, then it says, Vayas came, because then Hashem did just that and had dew all over the ground, because tal lo mi'atze. Also, Tosfos points out that it doesn't mention Vayas alekim came, because when he asked for everything to be dry, because Hashem doesn't want a man to have his name associated with Koronos. So all of this goes with the idea that tau lo mi'atze, that the dew never ceases. Dew, preposterous, by the way, is you have there's water vapor in the atmosphere, and at night it's colder, so it condenses on the grass and on various things on the ground over there. But what the point is, in other words, it's also a bracha. So there's regular dew, and then there's specifically the dew can have a bracha in it where it helps the plants grow, where there's enough moisture in it or whatever that it helps the plants actually grow. Anyway, so we see that even though tal of bracha maybe goes away, but tal as a whole does not. Therefore, the Chachamim did not require us to mention tal in davening. Okay. Ela ruchas menolam delematri. What about wind? Where do we see that wind never ceases? So Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, de Amakra, you have a pasuk. The Navi says to the Jewish people, Ki ka'arba ruchas ha'shamayim perasti eschem ne'um Hashem. I have scattered you like the four winds of the heaven, says Hashem to the Jewish people. So my kamalahu, so what do you mean, like the four winds? Ilema hachi ka'amalu ha'kadosh baruch hu Yisrael. Does it mean that Hashem said to them, debadar tinchu, that I scattered you, ba'arba ruchas ha'alma, in the four sides of the world? So you scatter. So in other words, Hashem is reminding them, you should know, you should remember, you were scattered all over the world in Golos. But in that case, then why is Hashem using the expression like the four winds? He's saying to the four winds. Rashi brings another possible girsa, which he doesn't like. Does it mean that Hashem is saying, I'm going to gather you from the four corners of the world? And no, because Ke'ar Baruchas HaShemayim doesn't fit with that. So first Rashi says, maybe we shouldn't be goyis that, because what's that doing? Obviously the pasuk is saying, Perasti, yes, and I scattered you. And fine, maybe you could have that, Yusa, and it would mean Hashem is saying, yes, I scattered you, but I'm going to gather you from the four winds. But nevertheless, then the word Ke'ar Ba is still not appropriate. It should say Me'ar Ba, like we have in Davening, Me'ar Ba Kantas Oret. Anyway. So Ela Hochikama, so rather what Hashem means, Kishem Shei Efshala Olam Boy Rukhas, just as the world cannot exist without wind, because that it would be too humid and too hot and humid. Kathi Efshala Olam Boy Yisrael, the same way the world cannot exist without the Jewish people. So Ke'aba Ruchas Hashemayim, Perasti Eschem, I scattered you like the four winds, I scattered you to the four winds, but the purpose is that you should be like the four winds, that this way you should have every place in the world has Jews in it, and that way that place benefits from having Jews in it. Rashi, in fact, mentions a pasuk over here that says, if it weren't for my covenant by day and night, Chukas Shemayim va'Eretz by Samti, I wouldn't have set up the laws of heaven and earth where Brisi Yom V'Layla refers to learning Torah. So in fact, there's an interesting verse I saw on this, that back when the Jewish people were on a high level, they were learning Torah by day and by night. Therefore, they didn't need to be scattered to all the different parts of the world. No matter what, they would always have, there would be some time of day when Jewish people are learning Torah, because they would be learning by night as well. But as Niskafnu Adoris, people are on lesser levels, so now they're not necessarily learning Torah. You don't have, for example, people sitting up and learning Torah, let's say, at 2 o'clock in the morning. So what keeps the world going then? The fact that you have Jews in a different time zone, where for them it's not 2 o'clock in the morning. For them it's 11 o'clock in the morning, and they're sitting and learning, or whatever time of day. The point is that you have Jews scattered in all the different time zones in the world, and that way you constantly have people learning every time. Okay, so we see from that that the wind never stops. Therefore, again, the Chachamim did not require us to mention wind in davening, to mention that Hashem brings the wind. So Amar Rav Chanina, so Rav Chanina says, here is some bottom line halachas that we learn from all of this. Hilkach, the Mosachama, during the summertime, Amar Mashi Baruach in Machzirinoi. So if a person praises Hashem in the bracha of Atagibar, that Hashem makes the wind blow, Ein machzirino, so we don't make him go back. You don't need wind during the summer so much, because the Gemara is going to say later it helps more with the rain, and there's no rain that time of year. Doesn't matter. Ein machzirino, so we don't make him start over again in the bracha, because anyway the wind never stops, and therefore there's no reason to mention it. Oma morid hageshem machzirino, so. But if during that time of the year he says morid hageshem, we do make him go back. Because Morid HaGeshem, it's not the time to be davening for rain, because rain doesn't belong this time of year. It's a Simen Klala. So Tosfos mentions in this connection, then if he doesn't say either one, then he doesn't need to go back. And again, in Nusach Ashkenaz, they don't say Morid at all during the summer. They don't say either one, and there's nothing to go back for. Also, Tosfos discusses over here the din, for example, that we're the familiar din that we have, that during the first 30 days you have to consider that you probably said what you're used to, and after that you can assume you're used to the new nusach. And then you also have the various dinim in this connection of when we say you have to go back, how far do you have to go back? So the post can explain, if you are still in the middle of the bracha, then you say, during the winter time, which we're going to talk about, that you have to go back. If you said Mashav Baruch, if you didn't say Mashav Baruch Merida Geshem during the winter time, you have to go back. So if you is still in the middle of the bracha, then you say it there. If you finish the bracha, you can say it right there. Only if you didn't, then you have to go back to the beginning of Shemana Esrei, because the first three brachas of Shemana Esrei count as one long bracha. So, okay, so far, so during the summertime, if you said Moed HaGeshem, you do have to go back, because that's the wrong nusach for that time of year. Right, because the curse during that time of year, yeah. The Moed HaGeshomim, now during the winter, Loi Amar Mashav Ruach Ein Machzirinoi. So, again, if he doesn't say the words Mashav Ruach, if he only says Moed HaGeshem, we don't make him go back, because again, you don't really have to daven about Ruach in the first place. Loi Amar Moed HaGeshem Machzirinoi. So, but if he doesn't say Moed HaGeshem that time of year, he does have to go back. The loy oid, and not only that, el afilo omer maver ruach umachriya chatol ein machziru noise. Not only that, even if he said that Hashem takes away the wind and prevents it from blowing, and machriya chatol, that Hashem makes the tal float away so it doesn't land on, so it doesn't condense on the plants or whatever, ein machziru noise, we still don't make him go back because, again, we said since wind and tau never really go away, so it doesn't really matter what nusach he said, even if he said an exactly opposite nusach, that Hashem prevents the wind and the tau, nevertheless, it's still good enough and he doesn't have to go back. So again, during the winter time, so if he doesn't say Moed HaGeshem, we're saying that, so machzirin oisei, but what it means is, though, on the other hand, if he says during that time of year, Moed HaTol, then that saves him. Again, that's the good of our Nusach, that we say Moed HaTol, is that during the winter time, even you continue to say Moed HaTol, by mistake, you won't have to start Shemoneh Esrei over again, because with the Eved, you can be Yotze with that. Okay. Next, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, but Ovim uveruchos loichivu chacham lahazkir. When it comes to cloud, to praise Hashem for bringing clouds, and when it comes to wind, we the chachamim did not require you to mention it. Being bo lahazkir mazkir. Again, if you want to mention them in davening, you could. My time, Hashem b'loy ma'atzu. Again, the reason is, so with wind we said before, and now with clouds also, clouds never completely go away. Therefore, there's no reason to have to mention it. So the Gemara says, "V'loy me'atzri." You're telling me that wind and clouds never go away. Well, Tony Rav Yosef, didn't Rav Yosef teach a brisa that when it says in V'hoyeim Shemaya, when it says V'otzer Etz Hashemayim, Hashem will stop up the heavens? That means mina ovim mina ruchos. It means that there won't be clouds and there won't be wind. So after ovim mina ovim mina ruchos, now you're saying that that's what it means. Oyeina elamina motor. Maybe it means that Hashem will stop up the heavens and there won't be rain. No, sure, I'm a v'loyi yamata, harei mata amar. The pasuk continues, and there won't be rain. So therefore, the v'otzer as hashemayim must be something else. Right. So therefore, ha mani makayim, v'otzer as hashemayim, mina ovim mina ruchas. It means that Hashem will stop up. There won't even be clouds, and there won't even be wind. So, kasha ovim ha'ovim, kasha ruchas ha'ruchas. Kasha ruchas ha'ruchas, kasha ovim ha'ovim. So now you have a question. The braisa is saying that ruchas can stop. Previously, we said that ruchas can't stop. And the same thing with Ovim. So what is it? Can Ovim and Ruchas disappear or not? That we should have to mention them in davening. Right, but that's the question. In other words, we're saying, even for example, when Hashem stopped the rain in Eliyahu's times, nevertheless, we still said there was still tau. Therefore, Hashem didn't have to tell Eliyahu, I'm bringing back tau, because there was tau during that time. Fine, there wasn't tau of bracha, but there was still regular tau. But the same token over here, Hashem can threaten, and Hashem, of course, can do whatever he wants. But if Rav Chanina is telling us as a fact that, or rather the Braita that we quoted, because they never go away, but Rav Yosef's Braita says they do go away. So what is it? Do they go away or do they not? The answer is ovim are ovim like kasha. There's no contradiction as far as the clouds, because hoba charfi hoba afim. It depends whether we're talking about the early ones or the late ones. So Rashi says the early ones means the clouds that come before the rain. Those never go away, even though maybe some later on in the perek we're going to talk about. Sometimes you may have a problem. There's clouds and everybody's expecting rain and no rain comes. But the fact that there are going to be clouds before the rain, that you always have. So on the other hand, you have when it's cloudy after it rains, which the Gemara is going to say soon, is as good as a second rain. It has a good effect on the soil, like a second rainfall. So those you don't always have. So those Hashem can threaten that those aren't going to come. Tosfos learns differently. Charfi means early ripening fruits, and afli means late ripening fruits. So Tosfos doesn't really explain what the difference would be, why some of them are affected or not affected by there being clouds. But Pashtus, the point would be, in other words, that early ripening fruits. They have a very short growth season. So therefore, they need the clouds at some point during that time in order to develop properly. The other ones that have a longer growing season, they can do without the clouds for a more substantial amount of time. Okay, so that's how we reconcile as far as the clouds. Ruchus are ruchus like Asha. And as far as the wind, there's also no contradiction. Hava ruch mitsuya, hava ruch she'ena mitsuya. You have a regular wind, and then you have a stronger wind. So the regular wind you always are going to have. The stronger wind, which, as the Gemara is going to say now, is useful for winnowing your grain, for getting the shells and straw and whatever out of it. For that, you need a stronger wind, and that doesn't always come. And that Hashem is saying in V'hoyim Shemaya, V'otzer Asher Shemayim, that Hashem will stop that there won't be those kinds of winds that are good for your agricultural purposes. So the Gemara says, Ruach She'ena Metzuya, Chaz Yelabei Dori. So what do you mean? A Ruach She'ena Metzuya is also a necessary thing because you need it in order to winnow your grain. So just like we're saying the world can't exist without wind and without dew and whatever, the pashtus, the world can't continue to exist without that strong wind occasionally either. So why would Hashem stop it? And the answer is Efshe Benafvasa, it's not so essential because you could create an artificial wind. You take a fan, you take fans, and you create a wind over there and you winnow that way if there's not a suitable wind for that purpose. So it's not so essential, and therefore Hashem can threaten to take it away, and you're gonna have to put in a lot of effort into creating a wind if you're gonna need it for that. Okay. Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Ha'ovim Baharuchas Shnias Lamotar. Clouds and wind are secondary to the rain, which means Rashi says they're almost as effective as another rain. They're almost as good for the soil as another and for the crops as another rain. Also, Rabbi Hanan also says it means, in other words, when they come right after the rain, like Shnius, in other words, when they come secondary right after the rain. So Heishi Dami. So what do we mean? Oma Olavi Tamer Rabbi Yehuda, the Bosa Mitzvah. That's what we mean when they come right after the rain. So the Gemara says, well, memory demal, you'll see. You're telling me that wind after the rain is a good thing? Well, you have a pasuk in the Torah in Kisavei, Yitin Hashem es matar arzach ha'obak va'opar. Hashem will make the rain of your land be dust and dirt. And what does that mean? How do you have dust and dirt as a rain? It means when you have a wind after the rain, which stirs up the dirt, and then it sticks to the grain. So Rashi explains on the pasuk in a little more detail. There's going to be rain, but not really enough to saturate the ground. So you still have loose dirt and dust all over the place. Meanwhile, the plants are a little bit wet from the rain. Now, when the wind blows, it stirs up that dust and dirt. It sticks to the plants, and then it gets hardened on them and it makes them rough. So we see that wind after the rain is not a good thing. The answer is like Kasha, Hada Osa Nicha, Hada Osa Razia. It depends whether there was a gentle rain or a heavy rain. Razia means a strong rain. Nicha means a light rain. So Rashi explains, in other words, when you have a light rain, that doesn't stir up the dust. When you have a heavy rain, then it does. On the other hand, Rashi says maybe we shouldn't be good at that. Maybe we should say the difference is, as the Gemara is going to say, the Iboisema hod mala ova hod le mala ova, whether it stirs up the dust or not. So the Iboisema is in parenthesis because it might be the same thing. It might be that we're saying the gentle rain has the property of not stirring up the dust. The heavy rain has the property of stirring it up. So therefore, that would be the difference. Or you could say the other way around. When it's a light rain, then when it's a light rain, then you still have, like Rashi mentions on the pasuk, you still have the ability for the dust to be blown up by the wind, whereas a heavy rain, that not. Tosfos says over here also a little differently, that when you have a gentle rain, then the difference is, nicha or razia would refer to the wind, a strong wind versus a gentle wind. A gentle wind is good, a strong wind is not. The Gemara continues, of the Omer of Yehuda, Zika de Bosa Mitra Kemitra, when you have a wind of the good kind of wind that we just said, after a rainfall, it's as good as another rainfall. Eva de Bosa Mitra Kemitra, when you have clouds after the rain, it's also as good as another rain. Shimsha de Bosa Mitra Ketre Mitra, and when you have sunlight after the rain, it's as good as two rainfalls. It's doubly good for the ground. So the Gemara asks, well, then the Lamorti Mai, then what are you excluding? You seem to have covered all the possible kinds of weather that you could have after a rainfall. So what is it that you could have after a rainfall that's not particularly good? The answer is Lamorti Gilhi Delaria. It comes to exclude the flashes that you have at night. Meaning Rashi says we're talking about a lightning storm. So when you have it rain and then afterwards you have lightning, that's not necessarily particularly good for the ground. We're not saying that it's as good as a rainfall or whatever. So why do we mention the night? Rashi says because most of the time when you see lightning strikes, you mostly see them at night. But nevertheless, it would still apply during the day as well. Tosfos has a different explanation. We mean the glow that you have at night. Like, for example, it can mean moonlight. It can mean the glow of the stars or whatever that you have at night. So in other words, if it rains and then shortly afterwards it's nighttime, then Rabbi Huda is saying it's not necessarily such a good thing. And also the shimsha, the bene karchi, another thing that Rabbi Huda is excluding is when you have the sun peeking out between patches of clouds. When you have, like, the clouds are patchy and you have the sun peeks through in some places and not others, that doesn't have the advantages of clouds or of sun or whatever that we're talking about after the rainfall. And again, Tosfos says, we're talking about, let's say, sometimes you have, it's cloudy on both sides and you have the sun is visible in the middle, that's not necessarily a good thing for the soil and for the plants. But if you have, it's all cloudy or it's all sunny, then Rabbi Huda is saying it's very good for them. Yeah. And another thing, Omar Rava, Mali Taugala Turi Kachamisha Mitri La'ara. One snowfall is as good for the mountains as five rains is for the ground. So Rashi says it doesn't mean only for the mountains. It means for the valleys as well. We're mentioning the mountains because the mountains, they don't get much rainfall. They get a lot of snowfall. Also, the point is, because snowfall in the valleys tends to melt very soon. The whole point is the snow stays on the ground and it melts gradually over time and sinks into the ground. So therefore we're focusing on the mountains. But really, if snow falls in the valleys and stays there, then it's good for them as well.
From the mountains, it runs down slowly.
From the mountains, it runs down slowly, right. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ki l'sheleg yomer heve oret, the Pasuk says, describing the greatness of Hashem, he says to the snow, be on the ground, the geshem motor, and there's a shower of rain, the geshem mitros uzoi, and the rain of the showers of his strength. So we see, we have five things. Geshem motor is two, geshem is a third one, mitros is two, so that represents five. So it represents that when Hashem tells the snow to be on the ground, it's as good as geshem motor, geshem mitros, which equals five. The Omar Rava, Rava also says in this connection, Taugalaturi, snow is good for the mountains. Mitra Radial Ilani, a hard rain is good for the trees because it soaks deep into the soil and therefore it's good for it gets into the roots of the trees. Mitra Nichalaperi, a gentle rain is good for the produce. Because of like a heavy rain, the stam would knock them down or whatever, but a light rain is good, it's good for them. Urfila, and an urfila, which means a very, very light rain, like a drizzle, afila la partida de truse kola mahanya. That is good even for a seed that's underneath a clod of dirt. Even that, it benefits from a drizzle like that, and it helps it grow. So my urfila, why do we call such a rain urfila? Urupilu. Hey, because it closes up the cracks in the ground. Pili means cracks. Uru, according to this first explanation of Rashi, would mean to connect together. Like you have the word ma'ura in Gemara terminology, which means to connect together. Rashi's second explanation is that it makes them grow. And Tosfos explains that would be Meloshin ma'ura, like it wakes them up. You have the seed that's hidden under a clod of dirt, and the drizzle wakes it up and promotes its growth. So the Omar Rava, and Rava also says in this connection, Hai Tzurva Merabanan, a young Talmud Chacham, Domi Lepartzida, the Tosi Kala. He is like a seed that's under a clod of dirt. Kivin de Novat Novat. Once he starts growing, once he starts emerging from under the ground, then he keeps on growing and growing. The same way, a young Talmud Chacham, once he becomes known, then he becomes greater and greater. And so he becomes greater and greater. In fact, there's an explanation also. The vort is the seed, when you think about it, if you just keep on looking at the seed, nothing's going to happen. You have to leave it alone in the ground, let it rot over there, let it rot in the ground, and then it'll start growing. The same way the young Talmud Chacham has to go through a tremendous amount of Yisurim many times, but that helps make him grow, and that's what makes him become the Talmud Chacham, the mature Talmud Chacham that eventually he's going to become. Shkoyach, everyone.
Shkoyach.